Well, thank you for praying with me. If you're on hold, I'm going to do my best to get you on the air today. I'm very very grateful for this time with you. I mean that. It's a time we can separate from some of the news that we've got to deal with, some of the other issues, and just really turn to God. And there's a power in this time of prayer. When you and I get together like this and we pray together, it's like we're sitting in each other's living room, right? We're next to each other in that car. We're sitting next to each other in that church pew. We're praying and asking our Heavenly Father to show His mercy on us. I want to pray for anyone with drug addiction and anyone who's homeless and anyone whose family life has been disrupted as a result of this. Barry, I want to thank you. A man I know just sent me a text. He says, my niece knew two guys, 24 years old, who went to Fenwick High School and they died. He says they went to a party and they took coke laced with fentanyl. The third guy's in a hospital, and he's paralyzed. So we know with this carfentanil, with fentanyl, this drug invasion in our country, a lot of lives are being disrupted, and a lot of people are losing their loved ones. And my heart goes out to anyone who is suffering in that way. And I just ask God to free those addicted today. I really do. I ask the Lord to heal and to just provide liberty and freedom from the chains of addiction that bind so many people. I also found out the other day that the Florida governor's wife, Casey DeSantis, has been diagnosed with breast cancer. She's the wife of the Republican governor down there, Ron DeSantis, in Florida. And only 41 years old, she was a former producer, Emmy Award-winning television host for the PGA Tour, and an equestrian national champion. I mean, she's got a lot of these different awards. But she's been married to, I guess, Ron DeSantis since 2010. And they've got a couple kids, a four-year-old, Mason, I think, three-year-old Maine, an 18-month-old baby. I don't know the other name, or Mamie's the other baby's name, I think. So 4, 3, and 18 months, a young family. And we'll pray for anyone right now who is going through those types of surgeries. I know a woman in Texas who wrote to me who has to have a breast removed as well. So I want to pray for any woman going through mammograms, anybody dealing with cancer. Let's lift up some of those intentions today. I'm joined once again by my colleague, Preston. Preston, it's good to have you back. Anything you want to lift up today?
Yeah, I would like to pray for Renee, who has cancer throughout her whole body, for Connor, that he comes back to the faith, and for Christina, who's exposed to COVID, and just for unity in families. I just see so much tension and struggles, and especially when people leave the faith, that just they come back, and for those that have left the faith, that they recognize that they made a mistake, and just that they have that conversion of heart again.
Amen. I want to pray for a man, Chris in California wrote, and he says his wife Jennifer's battling brain cancer right now. Just diagnosed a couple of months ago. It's very aggressive, and she's currently right now in the middle of her chemo and radiation treatments. And they have, you know, a couple twins, and it's a tough time for him right now. So I want to lift that up. Lisa P. in New York, she needs a miracle by tomorrow, and we'll lift that up as well. We'll take your calls. Let's begin right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
All right, let's take our first call today. This comes from Nancy. She's listening in Los Angeles. Hi, Nancy. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Drew, and thank you so much for your ministry. My daughter, Rachel, got the first vaccine for the virus months ago, and today was the day she was supposed to get the second shot. The first shot, she had a violent reaction. She had a palsy on the left side of her face, headaches that continued, and pain. So the doctors told her to go ahead and get the second vaccine, and it was due today. They sent her to a hospital, and they kept her over after they gave her the shot. She's on her way home now. She said she went ahead, and I told her not to get it, but she said she was going to get it because she can't get a job without it. Yeah. So I pray that this job will not give her a violent reaction like she had before, and that she's able to find a job.
Well, look, let's pray for her, Nancy. She's got her second shot. She'll get through it. I know a lot of people have had the vaccine and have had a couple shots. And sometimes that second one is a rough one. I spoke to one person who said, I had the shake and bakes. I said, what's that? He said, well, I had the chills and I had a fever. Some people have swollen lymph nodes. Some people have no reaction whatsoever. But don't worry about your daughter. She's going to be fine. We're going to pray for her right now. And again, I'll say this. I know this issue of vaccines, everyone's so divided on it. A lot of people object conscientiously because of, you know, the moral connection to the important fetal lines, although the church and the USCCB, the Vatican and the USCCB said the proximity, the remoteness to that act is so far that it's okay to get the vaccine. The Holy Father's encouraged people. So, don't beat her up over that. And if you have a comorbidity or if you're in need of it, I mean, there's a lot of people who would advocate you should, you know, get a vaccine. So, but I know that's a divisive issue. I'm not talking vaccines right now. I pray for protection from anyone who's been vaccinated, anyone who's unvaccinated. I pray for an end to COVID-19, any variation therefore of it. And I just lift up this mother who's concerned about her daughter, Rachel, and we just pray for prompt recovery. I pray for the jobs. I pray for those who are not going to get the vaccine, who will not be able to travel, who cannot go to certain stadiums or certain places, who really have an issue and a problem with this as well, Lord, that you allow justice to take place. You allow clarity when it comes to natural immunity, Lord. I just ask that you bridge these divides. You bring understanding and unity and can heal this division that our country and so many people are having on everything from politics to COVID. And I pray, Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the old world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Maricela, hi, in California. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Drew. I just received a call from my best friend this morning. Her mother, Delia Vargas, was just transferred to the ICU. I ask all the prayer warriors to lift her up to God, so so that he can heal her and be with her during this difficult moment. I also want to lift up my best friend, Lori, so that God can also comfort her during this difficult moment and for the conversion of all people. Thank you.
Beautiful prayer. You got it, Maricela. Thank you for your call. And what an important prayer. Just for peace, too. And here is where what I often talk to you about comes into place. Our fear and our anxiety and our worry will not do anything, right? They'll just sap us of our energy and our joy. Faith and trust in the mercy of God works miracles. So it'll also give you freedom. It'll give you the peace that so often evades you. Lord, I just pray right now. I lift up Maricela, her best friend's mother, who's in the ICU, and anyone who's in a critical condition right now, anyone who's facing a life-threatening situation or a real need of medical care. I bring them to you. I love Maricela's intention for conversion. I re-echo that for those that I love, those that I know, those who've asked me to pray for them. I pray that the grace of conversion reach those souls. And you know, Lord, I pray for anxiety, for those who suffer from it, and who are crippled by fear and do not trust. St. Francis de Sales, the gentleman saint, he once said that, you know, anxiety is the greatest evil that can befall a soul except sin. He says, God commands you to pray, but he forbids you to worry. You know, and we forget that. So, Lord, I just pray that souls, those who united with me now, that we can all have greater trust, that you'll give us those graces as we pray. Eternal Father, I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Before I go to Jim in Minnesota, Maggie, do we have any? Have you been accessing our Twitter account? All right, Maggie's saying she's got her hands full. She's broadcasting from a new studio. Let me do this. Lord, I give you everyone who is now posting those tweets, and you can tweet us at Drew Mariani Show. You can put those prayer intentions there, and we'll certainly present them here for prayer. You can email us, drew@relevantradio.com as well. But let me go back to the phones then, and we'll add to all those who are writing and listening and needing prayer, Jim's intention. Jim, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Drew. You got a great show, and it's really Thank great you. To practice.
Thank you, sir.
Chaplets. I really pray.
Thank you.
Anyway, my wife passed away this last weekend, and I've got children who have left the church. I pray for an end of abortion. I pray for all the poor souls in purgatory. I pray for an end of scourge of the pandemic and the drug pandemic as well. Wow. And those are my intentions, Drew.
Jim, man, my heart goes out to you, brother. Was your wife sick a long time, or was it unexpected?
She
what
was.
Happened?
She really was. Yeah, it was really, really a blast.
Oh, man. Well, look, count on my prayers for you. I have several friends I have lost their wives. A pilot who contributes to this radio program, Matt, I just found out his wife died, and another friend of mine who was a big, longtime friend. So you're going to be in that group of people who I pray for in the days ahead. And I'm going to pray for you and for all those intentions you just voiced. And I pray for Jim's wife who passed away this week, and for the family, for the souls in purgatory, those who've gone before us. Lord, I pray that you're merciful to them. And by virtue of these prayers, by the offering of the body, blood, the soul, the divinity of your Son, that you'll free many souls from purgatory, that you'll mitigate their purgation. You'll allow them to enter paradise where they can intercede for us as well. And I pray for those approaching death, those in the critical moment, too, that they'll say yes to you, that you'll meet them as a merciful Savior. And again, I pray for addiction. I know it touches so many lives and so many families. I ask for your mercy. I pray for new beginnings as I turn to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
An atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to Massachusetts next. Lisa is praying with us there. Hi, Lisa.
Oh, hi, Drew. I called about a year and a half ago, and I'm in Thanksgiving for God giving me an interim job doing work with home health, but it's not where I need to be, and I'm underemployed, and I'm asking for my miraculous job that's going to be permanent, that's more meaningful and more fitting for me soon. But I've just been so anxious about the whole thing, and I'm appreciative that God has kept me employed, but please, I need to be back where I was and in selling products and getting in, back into medical sales. That's what I'm meant to do, I think. But in God's will, please give me the right job soon.
Yeah, God sometimes shuts one door, opens another, and sometimes, you know, we are given a mission for some reason. You're meant to encounter somebody or go through something that will change their life. And believe me, God's on your side. St. Catherine of Siena, she once said that nothing great is ever achieved without enduring much. And I know you're enduring a lot. And Lord, I just pray right now for those who are in this time of testing and trial, this walk with you, those who are underemployed, who aren't making enough, those who are unemployed, who are looking for work, those who've lost everything or are on the verge of losing it, Lord. I just pray for providence. I pray for new beginnings. I pray for blessings on those entering into new contracts, relationships, employment, those who right now, Lord, are drowning in debt as well. I just pray for mercy on those souls. I know that can rob you of your hope, and you see no way out. It seems desperate and impossible. With you, Father, all things are possible. I often say you're a God of providence, and I know you'll come through. So on behalf of those really in this difficult journey, this difficult moment of the Lord, let them feel your presence. Let them see your generosity and use them in a powerful way as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Is that it, Preston, or I have one more?
One more.
Lost track. All right. Let me go to Barbara in Watertown, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hi, Barbara. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. My prayers are for my son-in-law who had his right leg amputated on Monday due to a motorcycle accident he was in June. Wow. And for my granddaughter's friend, Zach, who was got Hodgkin's lymphoma, and it's at stage 4. They're going to start high doses of chemo. And I have two sons that are addicted to alcohol. I would also like prayers for them, for Brian and Larry.
All right. Well, that seems to be the prayer of the day, doesn't it? Addiction. And let's, Barbara, let's pray for that. Let's pray for all these intentions. Your son-in-law has his health issues, and I pray for anyone who is facing amputation, anybody who's diabetic, anybody who's been the victim of an accident, Lord. I wanted to bring you this intention of addiction, and I was sharing a story earlier today of a situation I know that brought about healing from addiction. I've seen addictions cured. I've seen people freed for the rest of their life, totally liberated from that propensity to want to imbibe or take that drug. And Lord, you can heal the deepest of wounds, and you can set us free. I know you can, and I thank you for that. So I lift up Barbara's intentions, and I just ask that you answer every one of those. I pray for all those who have similar intentions, and especially for addiction. I'm going to sneak another call in here because I've got a moment. Let me sneak one more in. Let me go to Liz in Merrillville, Indiana. Hi, Liz.
Hi, Drew. Yes. Yesterday I went for my mammogram, and they noticed that the right lymph node has increased in size. Hmm. So I'm going to have an ultrasound done on Friday at 3 o'clock. And I know, I understand that you always say his will be done, but that's the scariest thing for me to say.
Well, Liz, I want you to be at peace. All right? First of all, your ultrasound's being done at the hour of mercy. All right? And that's such a great hour. The Lord made great promises to Faustina, not just with the chaplet, but with that hour. You know, he says, anything that you ask of him in virtue of his passion will be granted, if it's according to his will. Let's pray for healing. I want to pray that, you know, when the doctors come back with those test results, it's another answer to divine mercy prayer, to the promise he gave to that special hour. And I want you to also just put your trust in God, the fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty. I know it's natural. It's hard to rise above that. But try. All right, just say, Lord, I trust in you. As you feel that anxiety rise, just repeat that prayer over and over again. Jesus, I trust in you. And we're praying for you now. All right, we're going to pray for you now. We're going to pray for you tomorrow. Make sure you send us a text earlier in the day or an email, and we'll make sure we remember you in this prayer. But Lord, I give you everyone on hold, everybody who has cried out for prayer today. I want to pray for those who have lost loved ones, those who are battling addiction, those who are awaiting test results or going through them, those with health issues. Lord, I want to pray for those with financial problems, those mothers contemplating abortion, those individuals who are thinking about hurting themselves. And I pray for the loved ones who carry their own cross. I just give you our hearts. You know the deepest needs, wants, and desires we have. I pray for those in transition right now, Lord. And I just bring these souls to you, and I thank you for your love, for your mercy, for the way you answer our prayers. We pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
And for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless, and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible. Please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair, nor may we become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin most powerful,
Pray for us.
Virgin Most Pure.
Pray for us.
St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
St. Faustina.
Pray for us.
St. John Paul II.
Pray for us.
St. Peregrine.
Pray for us.
St. Jose Maria Escriva.
Pray for us.
St. Patrick.
Pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko.
Pray for us.
All you angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And when I come back, I'll share with you a story of a husband and wife who were dealing with addiction. The wife was praying. I'll tell you what happened and how God changed the course of this man's life. And I really believe it was the power of prayer, the power of a spouse, the power of the rosary. And of course, today's a great feast day of Bartolo Longo. And he was a Satanist, a high priest, and had a profound conversion and became a Catholic priest. We'll also be joined by a former Satanist who also had a conversion. You'll hear him with me in just a moment. All that coming up straight ahead.
The Relevant Radio Studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/Forrester.
After you climb up the ladder of time, the Lord God is near. Face to face in the vastness of space, your words disappear. And you feel like you're swimming in an ocean of love, and the current is strong. But all that remains when you try to explain is a fragment of song.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
So, Maggie, was that Paul Simon? Is that who that is? What's the name of that song, Afterlife? Is that, am I remembering that right? All right, nice job. Perfect. We were going to talk today about the afterlife, so that was a very appropriate bumper for Maggie to pull. But, you know, I often, the way the show works, you know, we plan it, we lay it out the day of the broadcast. So we are always in the now, right? We're always talking about what's happening that day. And sometimes the Holy Spirit has a different plan that we want to talk about. And I think this is important. I had no desire to talk about addiction today at all. I had no desire to, or I had no intention, I should say, of talking about some of the things I'm about to talk about. But I want to share with you a story. It's a true story, and I mentioned it to my producer earlier this morning. I knew a wife and her husband, right? This couple were good people. They had a beautiful family, had five children, and they were deeply in love with one another. But the man had a compulsive addiction to gambling. And if you are an addict or you have a gambling addiction or any other addiction, you know what it's like. This man actually, his wife was a saint. She prayed all the time for him. She prayed especially the rosary, right? She'd pray the rosary every day for her husband. And he never really prayed. You know, he was baptized Catholic, went about his life doing his thing, his job, providing for his family. And they were walking one day in this beautiful arboretum. It's known as the Tyler Arboretum. It's located outside of out of Philadelphia. And the wife had her rosary in her hand, and they weren't talking. They were just walking. And as they walked along, she would go from bead to bead, praying silently the rosary, one mystery after the other. And all of a sudden, this man hears a voice. And the voice says to him, "John, pray the rosary." And he turns around. It was a woman's voice. It was loud. It was clear as could be. He spun behind him. Nobody was there. So he said to his wife, he said, Hey, Barbara Ann, did you just tell me to pray the rosary?" And she goes, No, not at all. I didn't say a thing. I'm here praying. Why?" He goes, "Oh, no, nothing. No reason at all. Now let's just continue to walk." So they walked. And she was praying the rosary again. She went back. She got through another 5, 6, 7 Hail Marys. And this man hears this voice again. This man hears the voice that says, "John, pray my rosary." And he says it was absolutely audible. It wasn't in the head. It wasn't an echo in the trees. It wasn't at a distance. It was as though some very gentle, very beautiful, very soft, tender, loving voice was whispering in his ear, "Pray my rosary." He called, and this woman called him by name. So he said to his wife, come on, you just said something. It wasn't me. Well, at that moment, that man realized who it was. It had to be the mother of God. And he decided from that moment forward, he too would pray the rosary every day. Well, he'd go on to beat his gambling addiction, and he founded, I think, one of the first chapters of Gamblers Anonymous in the city of Philadelphia. But like most addicts, you can give up one addiction, but you trade them for others. So the gambling addiction went by the wayside, and soon he found himself addicted to alcohol, and he loved vodka. He would drink his vodka. That was his drink of choice. You know, it doesn't really smell in the person's breath. You can drink it. You can function. You can do your job. But like any other addiction, you know, and I really do believe addiction is demonic. I know there's a lot of psychological reasons for it, a lot of biochemical. There's a lot of things we can talk about, but I do think Satan can destroy families through addiction. You know what I'm talking about. I've seen it destroy lives. I've seen it short circuit lives. And we know how ugly and how dark this is. God wants you free. He doesn't want you addicted. You know, he wants freedom for you. He wants freedom for your child. That's what he wants. That's why when I say this is demonic, I really do believe that, because it's a chain that enslaves the person. It holds them helpless. My heart goes out to anyone who battles an addiction. So this man ended up struggling with this addiction, but he would pray the rosary, and he knew he had an addiction. You know, he was sick, and his wife would pray 54-day rosary novena after 54-day rosary novena for her husband, right? And one day, this man goes down to an apparition site, and it was down in South America, and the Virgin Mary was supposed to appear that night, according to this particular seer, and they spent the whole night out. Well, the night before they went there, he was staying with his son in a place called the Caracas Hilton, and this man emptied his wet bar, you know, in his hotel room. He drank all the vodka, all the booze. They spend the night out there praying and praying and praying. And the power of the rosary, the power of our Blessed Mother's intercession, the power of God's grace to bring healing and conversion and liberation is real. Something happened to him that day, he said. He said he doesn't know what took place, but it was as though something was taken off of his shoulders. There was a freedom, a loosening, an unbinding, a liberation, he said. He was miraculously cured at a place where cancer vanquished, where thousands would see the Blessed Mother very visibly, a site where a Eucharistic miracle, which has been approved by the church, took place, a place called Betania, Venezuela. That man, from that day forward, was liberated from his addiction. He lived another 15, maybe 17 years, never once had a proclivity to turn back to alcohol. And that man, I knew personally because he was my father. That was my mother who prayed that rosary every day for him. That was my mother who never gave up believing in the power of prayer. That was my father who I traveled to this apparition site with, you know, who I prayed for, who I was there the night I saw him empty his wet bar, and who I flew home with 2 days later, a changed man. My father died with the rosary in his hand. He would pray it every day. And what a beautiful and holy man he was. I love him very much. And I miss him very much. But that's the power of your prayer over your loved one. And I don't want you to give up hope on him. I don't want you to think that I've been praying, Drew, a long time. God's just not hearing my prayers. God's time is not your time, right? God's time's not our time. We have to be faithful to the promise of our Lord. We have to be faithful to the promises that he's given us. He's given us this beautiful hour of power, this beautiful chaplet of divine mercy where miracles occur every day. He's given us the rosary who, across the centuries, we've seen atheistic communism fall. You know, we've seen a military forces leave places they never should have. We've seen miracles take place in the lives of individuals, and we've seen healing and freedom from addiction. So I really want you to, in a special way, turn to Our Lady. You can, of course, pray the chaplet of divine mercy with me every day. You can pray the rosary with Father Rockery every evening at 7 p.m. And I encourage you to do that as we pray for an end to the culture of death, because I do believe this is a powerful prayer that Satan hates, and it's one that we're going to see the fruit of. I'll share one more story with you, another true story. It dealt with somebody who was in the dip of the grip of the devil. And, you know, if you know anybody who's been involved in the occult, you know they need conversion. And it might seem impossible, but again, I'll say to you, nothing is impossible with God. He can even bring a Satanist to the faith. And he did that today. He did that, I shouldn't today, but we remember today, the great feast of Bartolo Longo. He was a man who was born into a very devout Catholic family in southern Italy back in, I think it was 1840, 1841. It was a family like mine that prayed the rosary every day. And his mother died when he was 10 years old. It impacted his faith. He'd go on to a university in Naples. He studied law. He was a brilliant man. But like so many, like your kids, like your spouse, perhaps, he drifted from the faith, you know? And unfortunately, he started to dabble in the occult. And when you do that, man, you are in trouble. The occult, as you know, today is making a resurgence. You know, we're seeing it with the Ouija board, with seances, palm reading, with these mediums. In his own time, he saw the same thing, and he joined student demonstrations against the Pope, against the church, and he eventually got sucked into a satanic coven. So what he did, and this is, I think, really how possession takes place, he participated in seances, in fortune telling, in orgies. And he wasn't satisfied with merely practicing his neo, you know, his new pagan religion, but he felt it was important, and this is demonic, to publicly ridicule the Church of Christ established, Christianity. He did everything in his power to subvert Catholic influence. He even convinced many Catholics to leave the church and to participate in these occult practices, these rites. And he went so far, this guy went so far to become a satanic priest. So the thing with Satanism is that, you know, it promises you all kinds of things. You know, it'll make you great and you'll give you all sorts of pleasures and give you wealth. But it can't deliver on its promises. They're false. They're empty promises. They're dead promises. And a lot of people, that brings, it brings mental illness. And that's exactly what happened to Bartolo Longo. He started to suffer paranoia. He began to deal with incredible anxiety and depression. He became incredibly nervous. Confusion beset him. You know, and again, when you brush up against evil, that spiritual grit, that darkness, it'll follow you. It'll cover you. It'll infect you. So a professor of his was recruited by the family to try and help him. And the professor was brief and to the point, and he just said to him, he says, "Do you want to die in an insane asylum and be damned forever?" And he turned to Bartolo, and he turned to a Dominican priest named Father Alberto Rodente. And it took 3 weeks to work with him. They finally went to confession, and they brought him back to the church. But there's still more. Bartolo was still not fully convinced of God's love for him. One day he was in Pompeii, and he had this experience. He says, you know, as I pondered over my condition, he says, I experienced such a deep sense of despair. And he says, I almost took my own life. I almost committed suicide. But then I heard an echo in my ear, the voice of Friar Alberto repeating the words of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She said, if you seek salvation, promulgate the rosary. This is Mary's own promise. These words illumined my soul. I went on my knees. I said, if this is true, I will not leave this valley until I have propagated your rosary. And to prove his newfound commitment to Jesus and to the church and to Our Lady, he stood, he raised a medal of the Blessed Virgin Mary and cried out, I renounce Spiritism because it's nothing but a maze of error and falsehood. And some nun gave him, I think it was a painting of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary, one that was given to St. Dominic and St. Rosalima. He took it, he had it restored, and he also restored a rundown church. He installed that painting in there, and then all of a sudden, miracles started to begin to happen. People started flocking there. So much, he had to build a larger church. And he actually, I think, became a Catholic priest. So you've got a former satanic priest now building major basilicas to Our Lady. And today it stands, it draws millions of visitors. I prayed in it. And he was ultimately beatified by none other than Pope St. John Paul. And God's grace is not limited to 19th century saints, or to Satanists, if you will. He's still active today. When I come back, we'll speak to one, a man who was involved in the occult. He too was a satanic priest. God's grace reached his heart. He is now a Catholic convert. You'll hear his story when I return.
The Drew Mariani Show. Connected. Relevant Radio.
The Relevant Radio studio line is sponsored by Catholic Order of Foresters. Information about employment opportunities and their flexible premium life insurance plans available at relevantradio.com/Forrester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, what a great tune there. Huh? Conversion. It's a good song. Hey, Maggie, thank you. And thank you for joining me. If you're just tuning in, I just want you to know, I didn't plan on talking about this today. I didn't plan on even having Zach King join me today. But I think God wants you to hear a message today. And that is that prayer changes things. That addiction is not bigger or greater than God. Neither is the occult. And that there's freedom from all these things. I shared with you the story of Bartolo Longo, a satanic priest who had a profound conversion. Shared the story of my own father who battled addiction and found complete liberation and healing. Zachary King was a former high priest of a satanic coven. He is now a Catholic convert. That's the power of God's grace. He runs an organization. You can check him out. It's called All Saints Ministry, and his website's allsaintsministry.org. Zach, thanks for joining me today. I thought it'd be such an appropriate day to have you come on and share your story. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Drew. How are you doing?
I'm well. Hey, we've got about 10 minutes here, maybe at the most. Let me just throw it into your court here. Share your story, if you. How did you start in the occult? What age did it take place? And tell us your story. What led you out?
All right. The Reader's Digest condensed version. I got attracted to it through magic, thinking magic was the greatest thing in the world. So I did 3 magic spells for money, each one of them. You know, one gave me $5, one $10, and one $1,000. Wow. Realizing that magic was absolutely real and I could do this every day of my life, I, you know, dove right in. I was playing D&D at school, Dungeons & Dragons, or at home, and then I was also playing the Bloody Mary game at school, where, you know, you go in the bathroom, turn out the light, chant a phrase, and this demonic face shows up. So all these things are leading me towards, you know, is magic something I can do? I did the spells for money. Then I got recruited by a satanic coven by a 12-year-old, and I was 12 years old at the time. Wow. And that got me involved in child pornography, being in a satanic coven, drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, pretty much everything that I wasn't supposed to do. When I was 13 years old, just before turning 13, I found out it was a satanic coven, and I was given the option to quit or officially join, and I saw quitting as losing all my privileges. Like, I love to smoke cigarettes. You got to be 19 to buy cigarettes. I'm 12 years old. I'm addicted to porn. You got to be 18 to buy porn. I'm still 12. You know, I'm addicted to, I'm a sex addict at this time. And I don't know, I won't be able to sleep with all these girls if I leave this coven. And I'm also addicted to a bunch of drugs, and I don't even know where to get those at 12 years old. So I decide I'm going to stay with the coven because they're giving me everything I want. And so I officially joined the coven. I believe that sold my soul when I was 13 years old. And officially joined the coven. I was in that coven for about 5 years. I committed my first assisted abortion at the age of 14, almost turning 15. When I graduated from high school, I went up to college.
Can I stop you on that point? What do you mean? You that's part of the satanic ritual to perform an abortion?
Not every satanic coven does that, but some do. If you read the articles by the Satanic Temple nowadays, the Satanic Temple says that they don't want to be interrupted while they're doing one of their satanic ceremonies down in Texas, you know, with the new abortion law. Right. That puts a crimp on their style.
So you were an observer to this, or what happened at that point in time? Because you're just a young teenage boy at this time.
Right. I was one of the main practitioners of magic in the coven. Mm-hmm. So I wore a red robe. Everyone else is wearing black. And my job is to get blood on my hands. So whether that's the babies or the mothers, right. It's a late term abortion. I got probably the mother's blood on my hands. Mm-hmm. And then we're doing a hex. And that's the purpose of the abortion. Is it, the hex is the most powerful magic tool that a Satanist has. And but for you to get the devil's favor, you have to give him something. Mm-hmm. So you do the hex, and then you perform the abortion, mm-hmm. and the abortion is for the hex. And then it's kind of like, well, you asked the devil for something, and then you gave him what he wanted, which was a dead baby, mm-hmm. and now he grants your petition.
Yeah,
a very, very heinous procedure all around.
So I'm assuming with all of this conjuring, spell casting, human sacrifice, if you will, that's really what abortion is. You became possessed. Did a demon enter you?
At some point while I was a high wizard, I got possessed because we believe that possession makes your magic stronger.
Wow. So what happened? How did you find freedom from this very dark world?
I was a high wizard for 12 years, and I finally got tired of what I was looking at, what I was seeing, what I was doing, and I knew that the only way to get out pretty much was to die. However you choose to go, you're going to end up in hell. And so I plotted an escape, and I got away. And I got away. That was 1999. It was years later. It was January 2008. I was working in a jewelry store in the mall in Burlington, Vermont. And this woman came up to buy a pair of gold earrings. And I sold her the pair, handed her the receipt, told her we were having a special. You could take a survey, and you might win $1,000. And she said, I've got something for you, too. And she pulled this little gold, worthless piece of tin out of her purse and tells me it's very powerful. Well, I know Protestants don't bless anything, so she's got to represent some female deity cult. And she said the weirdest thing I'd ever heard. She said, the Blessed Mother is calling you into her army. I grew up Baptist. Mary gave birth to Jesus. No titles, no extra names. So I don't know who the Blessed Mother is. And then she goes on and on and on just talking, and I'm thinking, how do they all find me? And then eventually I tune her back in, and she again says it's very powerful, and I'm thinking, no. There's no way that this little gold-colored worthless piece of tin is more powerful than me. So I stuck my hand out for it. I was going to squeeze it, toss it on the floor, slam it on my counter, and tell her it's worthless. I don't feel anything. But this time when I squeezed it, everything disappeared around me. My store, my mall, everything was gone. And she's continuing to tell me about the magic spell I did last night, and that's of the devil. I've committed over 100-plus abortions, and that's of the devil. She tells me about 9 or 10 other sins that I've committed and ends all of them with, and that's of the devil. And then she says again, the Blessed Mother's calling you into her army. And instantly, I knew that was the Mother of God. And as soon as I realized it was the Mother of God, Mary showed up. She is the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. She smiled at me, and it's a smile I knew I did not deserve. I was acutely aware of my 146 assisted abortions. And she took me by the hand, turned me around, and Divine Mercy Jesus was standing behind me. I had these rays of light shooting under me and over me and through me. I had no idea what this was. I knew he was Jesus. And I also knew in that moment I had not sold my soul to the devil when I was 13. Yep. I knew that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. I knew all my Satanism, my occult, my New Age, and my magic was all false. And I knew everything Catholic was truth. The Blessed Mother told me my job was to help her end abortion. I opened my hand and I was back in my store, back in my mall. Next day I started going to daily mass. I officially entered the church in May of 08.
That's Zachary.
A wonderful
King.
Ride ever since.
It has been. Zachary, I love your story. An inspiration. You can learn more about him and his ministry at allsaintsministry.org. That's the power of God's grace, his love, his mercy, and the power of conversion.